I certainly just heard a word from the Lord. I heard my phone pop, you know, when it go beep, and I looked at it just to see what it was, and it says, "How do you know when it's the right time to retire?" So, and it says, "Listen to this weekend podcast." And I think this is a word from the Lord. When you can no longer manage the children, this is the right time to retire. Just popped up on my phone. So, I thought it was something, it's a word. The Lord will give you a word. Thank you, Lord. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we thank you. We thank you for your loving kindness and for your tender mercies. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We thank you for, Lord, for coming into this world to die for us, because you love us so much that God would send you. So we thank you. And we know that you did this for all of us, for each and every one of us, regardless of race or economic status or class or sex or anything, Lord God, as Peter would say, there's no partiality, Lord Jesus. And so we thank you this morning. And so speak a word now for us. Speak a word of hope and of love and of peace, as the song says, God, so that we could be in peace. That peace that surpasses all understanding that comes from Christ. Speak a word now, Lord God, for we are listening. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. And so today we celebrate, we remember the baptism of Jesus. You see how the story follows in the lection, in our lectionary readings, because it follows Jesus being born, and then the Magi finds him and the light, and he's ready for baptism. He's grown up, right? That story I was telling the children, that is when he was a baby, and they took him to Simeon and Anna, who had been waiting 40 days after he had been born. They would take him to them and they would bless him, right? And then we don't hear much. We do hear about Jesus up to about 12, when we know he comes up in the temple. We don't want to, that may be an election later on, when he goes to the temple and speak to the elders. And then how we wish we would hear a lot more about him, but we do not, until he comes out of the wilderness. He comes, and John the Baptist, who would come before him as a forerunner, is there, and he will be baptized. That's when we hear about him again. We know he was in Nazareth with his father as a carpenter. We see those parts of the story, but how much I would love to have seen, much more about him. But thank God we can't tell God what to do. And this picture, I'm going to read you a brief reflection, but this picture is shows you when you go to the Jordan River, which is one of the sites, the main site that we believe Jesus was baptized, not the exact spot, but in the Jordan River, because, they believe that this is the place. Anyway, it is set up there for Christian tourists and Christian folks to come and get baptized or so on. And it's a Jordan River baptismal place, and of course it's in the Hebrew also, and that's where we go to get baptized. It's all set up now as you change into these white things. You don't have to bring them. You go, they give you lockers and so on, and you change into them, and it is so busy there. People lined up different places. I'll show you a picture, but I'd like to read this. There's some other pictures, but I'll tell the gentleman to move it up in a second. But I want to begin with a brief reflection. And my sermon title is, What Happens to Us at Baptism, right? And we take baptism so lightly because we don't really understand. And when we do it for children, the parents are responsible, and the sponsors, right? The godparents and the grandparents are responsible to see that that child is brought up in the church, ultimately, right? That's a responsibility. It's not about a big party. We could have a party for everything, right? We have a party for everything. We go out to eat for everything. I don't need a baptism to go out to eat. I could just go out to eat, right? It is not about that. It's a celebration of the family, yes? Because now that child is welcome in the family, it's a celebration. But baptism is what is much more than that, which I will speak about today. And so this story, this brief reflection says, a 100-year-old woman gets baptized at 101. And it's a true story that I read. It says, in November of 2005, Ivy Smith was baptized at the Anglican Cathedral in Portsmouth, England. At 101 years old, she is believed to be the oldest worshiper in Britain to undergo the blessing. Smith grew up in southern England as the seventh of 14 children in a Methodist family. Because, you know, the Methodist church used to be very strong in England. No longer, right? I think the bishop and them will be going in March. I'm hoping to be able to get there with them. They're going to do the Methodist thing, but we'll see. Because I think they're failed. But she attended the chapel every day. But it was over a century before some of her fellow worshippers asked her why she didn't take part in communion. Right? Because in those days you couldn't share in communion unless you were baptized. Right? And you know, when I grew up in church in England, it's the same in Jamaica, same thing. Because it's the Anglican church. I said, I have never been confirmed or baptized, said Smith. She had been going to church all these years, but she had never been confirmed or baptized. And they asked me if I would like to be. I said, at my age, the centurion is most excited about taking part in the sacraments. She said, having watched it happen for so many years, to take communion really made me feel part of the service. Finally, at 105, 101, she would be baptized and be able to take communion. She had been sitting there watching all these years and wanted to be baptized. Right? Amen. So you see how much that would mean to her. And we try to emphasize when we go to conference, when I'm going to go to baptism with a parent, when people call me up and say, can you just baptize my child? And I says, you haven't even spoken with me. You just can't baptize. You have to understand the meaning. And your sponsors need to understand the meaning. And especially if you're a Christian and you're going to get a person who is a Muslim or an Hindu as your persons to bring up your child, the question is, where are you saying they're going to be brought up? When the question is asked, do you understand? This is like having your wedding and having your bridesmaid can be anything. You're saying yes to bringing up your child in the church. Right? So if these persons are not Christians and you're coming to a church of a Christian baptism, then something is wrong. Right? If you're bringing them to be your sponsors. Right? And answering those questions. We ought to get back to taking baptism. I know pastors. And I won't. If you bring me somebody who just says, you might as well lie to me, but if you bring me someone who's out of the faith, is not a Christian, and ask me to baptize your child, I'm going to say, that person can't be your sponsor. Because we're sitting there, you're lying to me and forget me. We've started out with a lie. Because at least the promise is that child will be brought up in the Christian church. That's the promise we're making. Right? That's the mark for us that makes us different from any other faith. There's no other faith that talks about baptism, any other religion. They have their own sacred things that I really don't know what they are, but they do have them. But nobody could tell me about baptism. Because as a United Methodist pastor, we must pass the understanding of to be ordained. We just turned somebody down who could not tell us what the sacraments were to United Methodist Church. Got confused and couldn't explain it. And now I have to come back before the Board of Deacon. They don't play United Methodist, and I'm sure the Presbyterian and so on don't play. When we grow up to get ordained, we have to understand what baptism means and what Holy Communion means. And we have to be able to answer it in our interviews. It is not something to play around with, and it's a shame. Now, next slide. I wanted to bring some pictures for you. I hope you could see it. And I partake in this baptism. And I was in Israel the last time. I think it was 2019. Egypt and then Israel. And as you know, I've gone several times. And we were baptizing adults. And this gentleman, I wanted to explain to you how, as Methodist, and I think the other mainline churches, we talk about three form of baptism, because the water does not make you, really, the bigness of the water is not the thing. It's the heart that's changed. But this is baptism by immersion. Some people used to say you duck them, right? And this is in the Jordan River. That's my hand there. I'm praying over this gentleman. We were baptizing other folks. And this gentleman was not even part of our group. But he saw us baptizing folks in the river, and we were doing reaffirmation, and he asked to be baptized. That's my colleague, two of my colleagues, Pastor Egan and Pastor Cherie Phillips. And we were taking turns baptizing, because we have to stand in the water, and then you need a guy and a girl to hold them down, because people get, I know the feeling, because the same thing happened with me. So here we are, we're baptizing in by immersion in the Jordan River. Some churches do have a pools and so on, and that you could baptize by, but I don't want people to get locked into that this is going to make you holy, the bigness of where the body of water is. I have reaffirmed every time I go to Israel, I go to the Jordan River. And we talk, if my tour goes there, and we get reaffirmation. Because once baptized, always baptized, right? We do get reaffirmation. Because what we're saying, if you have to keep getting baptized, you're saying that God got it wrong the first time. Right? So this man was so thankful. Next slide. And then we have baptism by pouring and sprinkling. Now that little girl who was just baptized here, Carolina. She had to read a little book. We have some little Methodist book that is very easy, and she knows this, right? So now you see me baptizing this baby by pouring, right? By pouring with the head on the shield, because that was the time that you're pouring with. I'm using that little dish, because of course. You can use a dish to pour, or you could use your hand. You see me with little Zayden there. He's a little bit older, and I am pouring. Or you could take the water up, and you could sprinkle. Right? So there are three forms, because we allow babies to be baptized. Right? We believe that baptism is a gift from God, and that whether we are grown or small, we don't have really a say in it. In essence, an older person is we call that believer's baptism because they're saying yes. But for a little child, the parents are saying yes for them, that they're going to bring them up in God's church. I wish folks will get it and stop, you know, doing this and then run to the party and forget that they should ever come back to church. And they don't even believe in God. I don't get it. I don't believe in the Christian God, so I don't get it. I have tried to ponder that for years. Next slide, the final slide here is these folks who are sitting, the picture, a few of them are, my colleagues are there, and some other folks, we all came with a big group, and they're waiting for reaffirmation. They've been baptized. But everybody, even though we are baptized, we have reaffirmation, wherein you reaffirm your baptism. You go in and you affirm, and you get a certificate that says, you know, this time, I think I even got it this time, that your baptism has been reaffirmed. Because it's signed off that you've been baptized, or you get that, you know, because you have to give them a list. And the baptism we are reaffirming. And it took three of us out of that plastic bag on my head, not to mess up my hair. Because I was have to go down into the water with her. We took three of us to hold this sister down. She was weeping so before the Lord. And so it is an amazing feeling to baptize a baby, knowing you're doing what God has called you to do, and to baptize an adult or reaffirmation. So just want to let you know that we people all over the world, if you go to Israel right now, there are thousands of people in that Jewish state, because thank God for the Roman Catholics have kept a lot of those places, the holy places, are getting baptized. And to the government of Israel and the Arabs, they have allowed our sacred places to be there so we can go and be baptized. Right? And so this is just, and people are praying as they sit and crying, thinking of Jesus. And then next slide. And this, I like this picture of Jesus' baptism. You could see like the light open up, right? Like heaven open up and the dove came down, right, on him. And we all, I wanted to hear God's voice saying, this is my beloved daughter in whom I'm well pleased. But God says it in our hearts. You feel this thing that you have connected with the Lord. Amen? Now, what is baptism? Because I really want to use this as a teaching moment so we get it. What is baptism? Baptism means washing, and in the church, it is a combination of God's word and the water. Right? So it means washing, and we take that from the scriptures. It's a washing away of our sins, a kind of washing. And what sin are we talking about then for a baby? We're talking about original sin, the sin of Adam and Eve. And that's where grace comes in. John Wesley, our founder, was big on grace. We believe that a baby is what? Protected by grace, or even an adult, by grace until they know better. Now we call that grace prevenient grace, the grace that comes before understanding. So we do not believe that if a baby passes before baptism that they go to hell. We don't believe that, because God's grace protects them until they come to understanding, right? And that's where confirmation comes in, as a time of understanding, right? When they say yes to Jesus for themselves. And there are people in the world, grown-ups, who have never heard the gospel in some remote places. And grace covers them. So it is water and spirit. People are baptized in different ways, which I just told you, based on church tradition. Some are sprinkled with water, or water is poured on their head, and others are immersed in a tank of water or in a body of water. I explain that to you. Now, the act of baptism is a meaningful act, the writer says, a meaningful act. It often serves as a place marker for people's faith journey. It's a place marker that you are on a journey. It is not the end, friends. The journey has just begun. Just like when you have a baby, you bring the baby here, the baby now is going to grow up and go to kindergarten, and then the baby's going to go to nursery and kindergarten, and then middle school and whatever all the schools are. You know what I'm saying. And then primary school and high school and college. It's a journey. So is the Christian walk is a journey. It's not the end. Next point, almost every church, oh yes, I did say that. There's a place marker, didn't I? Yes. Almost every church uses some form of water for the act of baptism. The importance of baptism is unquestioned in the Christian faith. If you're a Christian, we don't question baptism. Specifically, it is that moment the Holy Spirit sparks faith in a Christian. Right? Because when we baptize a child, we say, you know, Mary, Marjorie, right? Being born of water and spirit, right? Now receive the Holy Spirit. And we believe the Holy Spirit places this in your heart, this little spark of faith, right? Being born of water to the womb and then of the spirit, right? You will be a faithful servant of Jesus Christ. Receive now the Holy Spirit. And we believe it. We believe it happens because faith and walking with the Lord is a mystery. You don't, we'll never understand it. It's not something you could take to college and try to figure it out. Right? You can't figure it out. There's a lot of things in this world we can't figure out, right? We have to accept it by faith. The importance of baptism, friends. Baptism was ordained by Christ. What did Jesus say? As anybody, you all should, every Methodist should know this scripture. There's not a Methodist pastor here, but it's in Matthew. At the end of Matthew, he says, go therefore. Yeah, or therefore go, but I like when it says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus said before he left them the first time. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. So it was ordained by Christ that we should go therefore and baptize. So that's why we baptize Christians. Baptism marks the personal identification with Christ. Once you say you're baptized, every person who knows, I'm baptized with Christ. I'm identified with Christ as a child of Jesus Christ. As he was baptized, so I am baptized. So you are baptized. Baptism marks the entrance into the Christian family. Very important. That's why it is not good to baptize people secretly. Another question we have to answer. This idea that, oh, I'm just going to baptize and it's going to be you and me and one other person. No, it should be in the church because you're coming into the Christian family, the family of believers. That means there should be other people there in the church. Family of believers, right? And we're very big on that. You are coming into the family of believers. So when we baptize a child here or a person and we say, now receive your brother or sister, you're coming into the family of believers and into your own family. And baptism is a public confession of faith. That, yes, I believe. And the parent is saying, I believe for this child. I believe for this child who doesn't know. Okay. And now, friends, coming to the end. Baptism gives us three specific gifts. The forgiveness of our sins. That's gift number one. The forgiveness. Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, everyone of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is the forgiveness of sin. Forgiveness of original sin. We no longer have it. the sin of Adam, and whatever time we are sin, we could go to the Lord. So baptism gives us the gift of original sin, the gift of forgiveness. I'm sorry. And another gift it gives us, faith in our Savior. Now, yes, we now believe in Jesus, and that's why we want to what? Be baptized. And now, number three, baptism gives us what? It says it, eternal life in heaven, and I meant to change that. It gives us the hope of eternal life in heaven. I have the hope, but I must have not saved this slide. It gives us the hope of eternal life in heaven. Right? Because once we are baptized, we have to begin to work out our own soul salvation. Right? Work it out to Jesus Christ. So friends, I always say this and I'll say it today. I didn't bring my little water to say, remember your baptism, but I'll say it because I know it's COVID. I don't want to, you know, people have a lot of colds now. But I want to say this today. If somebody is in this church, right under my voice, the sound of whatever age you are, online or in this church, that have never been baptized, or of a child that has never been baptized, and you are a Christian believer, let me know. I will baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Right? It does not take you having to work to get it. It is by grace and faith in Jesus Christ. And those of us who have had our children baptized and then they turn away from the church, just keep praying. Keep praying for them. You don't know that seed has been planted in them at that time they were baptized, and you just leave the rest up to the Holy Spirit. And you keep praying for them that they will turn back to the Lord. Amen? Amen. You just keep praying. It says, Lord, you know, I baptize this child. Yeah, he knows. He knows what. And sometimes they act like they don't believe, but they're being troubled. Right? Troubled by the Holy Spirit. Songwriter says, wade in the water. Right? The Spirit is going to trouble the water. Just keep praying for them. You brought them to church, you had them baptized, you brought them to Sunday school, they did what you had to do, and they no longer want to go to church, or they don't say they don't believe. You don't stop praying, because God will hear your prayers. So let's take our baptism as something that is important. Let's take it out of the realm of a party and understand that it's a sacrament in every church that does it. The mainline churches, it is a sacrament. We have two sacraments in the Methodist Church, baptism and Holy Communion. Roman Catholic Church has seven sacraments, but one of them is baptism, one is Holy Communion. We don't, you know, deal with the other rest. We don't believe in First Communion and so on. Right? But it's very important for us that we are baptized. Because baptism says we are receiving Jesus. We have been connected with him as our Lord and Savior. Amen, friends? Amen. And so today, we remember the baptism of our Lord on this Sunday. And just like he is baptized, so shall we. Amen? So shall we. So friends, remember your baptism. And be blessed. Remember your baptism and be blessed. Those online, remember your baptism and be blessed. Amen. Amen. Thanks be to God. And as I say, if you're not baptized, start praying to the Lord to be bold, because we will do it right here in front of everyone, that you're making that bold step to be baptized, to tell the world that you're a child of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.